Morning. Now, just over a week ago, the Cambodian general election saw Prime Minister Hun Sen be re-elected as leader of the country. At 33 years in a row, Hun, a former member of the Khmer Rouge and notorious for his use of political violence and corruption, is the longest-serving Prime Minister of the country. And the legitimacy of the election has been called into question by the international community, including the US, the EU and the Human Rights Watch. But Australia's criticism of the Cambodian government has been soft. Now, the Cambodian opposition leader has called for the Australian government to be more critical of Cambodia. And to discuss the Australian government's relationship with Cambodia, I'm joined by Dr. Jean Bouguet, adjunct professor at the School of Social and Political Science at the University of Sydney. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Jean.
Good morning.
So what exactly is the Australian government's relationship with the Hun government?
Well, it's been a very unstable relationship coming back to the 1990s during the negotiation of the peace agreement that was signed in 1991. When we look at Cambodia, we need to look at it from different layers. So we need to look at it from the domestic element, the regional and the international, which is what we are facing today. So Australia's position with Cambodia is that of, on one hand, there is a need to criticize, of course, what is happening over there, because we had an election without a real opposition, and that is not a democratic process, of course. We also have issues of human rights, we have issues of autocratic management of the economy and the politics, but also we need to look at it at, within a region. And Australia's position there is that of, yes, we do want to criticize, but on the other hand, we do not want to upset too many people in Southeast Asia, especially in the context of the relationship between the US and China. So you can see, it's a very complex situation.
Of course, these things are always complex, yeah. But so suppose Australia stopped giving aid and began to criticise Hun's government. Would this actually have any real impact, or is there anything we can do?
Not really, because Australian aid is significant, of course, but it is not that significant. The support to the refugee program, which is about $15 million, about $3 million of it has been used so far, is also quite insignificant from the Cambodian perspective, as that is from the government's perspective. Given the intervention from China in Cambodia, economically, structurally, and in defense, whatever we are going to do in Cambodia is not going to change a great deal.
And so in 1979, the UN supported the Khmer Rouge government over the Hun Sen opposition. And then in 1993, Australia and other Western countries were involved in the Paris Peace Accords. But they all kind of failed to bring democracy to Cambodia. Would you say the West is partially responsible for Hun's ascendancy?
I'd like to say that when we look at Cambodia, we are looking at a mirror reflecting our perception of what democracy should be and what development should be. Excuse me. Now, first, when we look at Prime Minister Hun Sen, one thing that has not been reported in the media recently is that, yes, he was involved with the Khmer Rouge, but he left the Khmer Rouge at a very early stage to join the Vietnamese military, who eventually overthrew the Khmer Rouge from Cambodia. So, you know, it's like in all those situations, there's not enough reflection on history. What actually happened that led to what is happening today?
And would you say Australia is politically and economically closer to Cambodia than other Western countries, say the US or the UK?
Well, definitely not as much as China. Japan is investing also quite considerably in Cambodia. The US still invests there. So on one hand, we have sanctions that have been applied against Hun Sen and his associates. On the other hand, it is still critical for the US to support in some ways or others Cambodia, because Cambodia is very close to China. And there is an impact there in ASEAN. That is, Cambodia supports China within ASEAN, meaning that ASEAN can never have a consensus to condemn China for example, in the South China Sea. So it's, you know, once again, we need to look at the complexities there. I think what Australia should consider is not so much criticizing Hansen outright, which is what's happening at the moment. The Four Corners report, the Human Rights Watch. Report were quite significant, but this is actually detrimental to the development of democracy in Cambodia, because once again, it reflects our perception of what democracy should be in a country that has never and will never, I believe, embrace democracy the way we understand it. We need to take, you know, a broader view to these issues. And economic development, I was there from 1997 to 1991, and I was actually in Cambodia in 1992 when I witnessed firsthand how the international community just rushed. It was, you know, would actually give money over there. And what we have achieved with that is, in fact, create a situation of dependence. So we made corruption possible in a state that was already prone to it. And since the early 1990s, it's never changed.
And just going off that now, back to the Vietnamese government, Hun has been called a puppet of the Vietnamese government. Do you think there is any truth to this claim?
Of the Vietnamese government?
Yes, yeah.
None at all. In fact, there's always been like animosity between Cambodia's government and the Vietnamese one. One could say that it should be called a puppet of the Chinese government. But again, we need to be very cautious with this. There's no doubt that China is investing significantly in Cambodia, and that over time, China is involved in that strategy, not of expansion, as it's often described, but doing what China has done, you know, culturally and historically for thousands of years. That is to develop, buy, and get a situation of dependency. Again, there's a difference between the way the West is looking at development and the way China is looking at development. And it seems like, you know, we are caught in the middle of that without fully understanding, once again, the complexities.
And so lastly, just to finish off, what do you see as the future of Cambodia after Hun Sen? Would Cambodia return to democracy, or would one of his sons take over? How do you see it going?
Well, he cannot return to democracy because democracy was never there in the first place. Hun Sen's son is likely to follow. But I think what we need to look at in Cambodia is the young people. See, Cambodia is a very young country. And that is, you know, what the aftermath of the Khmer Rouge regime. So we have a population that is incredibly young, that often does not remember what happened in the past. And we have also political parties like the opposition in exile, you know, as we call it, that, of course, is a very old party that is not even supported by young people. We need to focus on what happened with Dr. Kem Le, who started a political force, a movement, 2-3 years ago, and was assassinated, you know, for doing things. And Dr. Le was supported by so many young people in Cambodia. And I think that's where the future is. And if Australia has to have an impact over there, it is not in condemning Hun Sen, it is not in supporting parties that frankly should no longer exist, but in trying to support the development of young forces to look at young people in Cambodia, because that's where the future is.
Kind of work from the inside. I feel like, yeah, the West are very guilty of imposing their own ideas of what a political ideology should be. But thank you so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.